Welcome into this Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray. Pleased to be joined in studio here at Golf Channel headquarters by two-time major champion John Daly. John, we are streaming this live on Facebook. Thank you very much for coming in. A little early wake-up call. I know that you're making the rounds here on Morning Drive, but thanks for coming in to talk to us here.
Oh, you got it. When you get as old as I am, you get up early. You don't want to miss too much.
There you go. So to the end of the calendar year, a lot of golf takes a back seat, but here in Central Florida, this is like the heart of the golf season. So you are here. We talked yesterday during Media Day for Diamond Resorts Invitational, which is coming up in a few weeks. And you're also here for the Father-Son Challenge, which I know is a fun tournament for you. And you're kind of in prep mode here. A lot of guys have put the clubs away, and you're getting ready to go this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of put them away since Phoenix, our finals of the Champions Tour. But now my son's looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Anytime you get a chance to play with your, you know, your kids is the ultimate. And especially as much passion as he has for the game. It's a great week.
I always want to. We got plenty to talk about here, but I actually need to talk first about LJ because he has won more recently than you. First of all, but what was that like a few days ago? He's playing up at Harbortown on a PGA Tour venue. He rallies down the stretch, wins a five-man playoff, I believe, with the fist pump and everything on the final green. What was that like for you to see him win, just overall to kind of have the shoe be on the other foot now watching him play competitive?
It's just amazing. I mean, you know, he loves it so much. He's so competitive, which I love. In everything he does, whether it's, you know, basketball, football, anything, he's so competitive in it. And I love that about him. But to watch him win like that was incredible. And it just shows that everybody at Bishop's Gates really taking good care of him. And he's got good coaches around him. He's doing good in school. As long as he does good in school, he'll be able to keep doing this.
Well, I was going to say, I know that he's certainly got a lot of coaches working with him, but are you giving him tips growing up? Was he kind of a make-your-own-swing kid, or are you kind of trying to steer him in the right direction?
I just kind of, you know, when he wanted to just kind of go out there, he never wanted to use a junior set of clubs, so it's kind of like the way I was brought up. But I got him a golf club, a putter, and like an L wedge in his hands when he was two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all he wanted to do was just hit it. And when he first started playing, he'd put my clubs under his arm here and hit it. And then finally got him. Basically, all I did was show him the grip, and he watched me do some stuff. And he's very natural. He's very gifted, and he's got some hands that I wish I had.
Oh, come on now. I'd say that you're doing pretty well.
You know, I've never been able to hit a putt where you can read the logo. You can read everything on the ball when he hits a putt. It's just phenomenal.
So Give me the state of John Daly. How have things changed for you after turning 50, playing on the PGA Tour Champions, winning this year? What's it like for you right now in the game of golf?
Well, I think finally having a schedule. I mean, it's been a long time since trying to get exemptions over, you know, almost, she's 9 years on the regular tour and trying to battle and trying to somehow get lucky and do well enough to get my card back, but it just never happened. The injuries have really killed me. Ever since 07, but just to know I've got a schedule now on the senior tour, the Champions Tour, I can pick weeks that I'm gonna go see my son. It just makes everything so much easier. See my kids, go home to Arkansas, see how the course is doing. Yeah, more scheduling. You know, it's easier to basically schedule the time I'm gonna see my family.
Yeah, I think a lot of times fans kind of get lost with that gap for players as they're looking to turn 50 and get, as you said, kind of a second lease on things, get that schedule. It's tough. Once you get to a certain point, if your game's not quite there, that you can't rest on the laurels of, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. That's not how the PGA Tour status machine works, and then you're stuck in this middle ground there where you have nowhere to play.
Exactly, and it can happen on this Champions Tour just as quick as, I mean, you know, you win, it's only a year, you know, and so I got all next year, and then, but, you know, if you have an off year, it's tough. I mean, it's not easy, one, just getting into the Champions Tour. I think you got to have 4 points, which is basically 4 wins, or a major and another PGA Tour win, but it's not easy. It doesn't matter if it's web.com, you know, Latin Tour, anything. I mean, our tour, the regular tour, European Tour, it's hard, and it's very, very difficult to win.
Speaking of that, how meaningful was it for you to win at the Insperity?
Well, it was great. I mean, you heard in a segment earlier with me and Charlie Reimer, when I saw him literally at the PGA show last January, I said, man, I'm hitting it great. I'm just putting like a dog. And like I said, I just went out and concentrated on that. And you know, it was just one thing, just move the ball up just a little bit at the impact zone of the putter where I can hit it solid and get some confidence. And you know, that's why I said my advice to people is just before you go panicking, just check your ball position in anything in your whole game before you really panic. I don't care if you're 20 handicapper or a scratch or whatever, you know, you just don't need to panic. Everything in this game is about ball position.
That's part of the maddening thing about golf, right, is that you can sit there and spend 6 months beating your head against the wall and you find out you needed to move something a quarter of an inch and all of a sudden you've unlocked the gates of heaven on the golf course.
Maybe the putter needed to be just a little flatter, maybe a little more upright. Or it's just however you can, for me, if I can hit 10 putts just as solid as I possibly can from 10 feet, I know my lie's right, I know my loft's right, and I know my ball position's right, and don't even think anything twice about it.
So when we were, as I said, yesterday out at the media day for the Diamond Resorts Invitational, which will be in Orlando in January, we talked a little bit about the rules of golf, which is certainly a hot-button issue right now, but I want to get your thoughts on the ball and possibly rolling back the ball, bifurcation. What do you feel like is the solution? As a guy who led the tour in driving distance before, that was a cool thing. You're hitting a 300-yard drive that now might keep you in the middle of the pack, whereas it was as eye-popping in your day as a 400-yarder is now from DJ or Justin Thomas. What's the John Daly solution here?
You know, I don't really know. I mean, I think there's too many lawsuits involved when you're going to roll back the ball. I mean, like I said yesterday, I think these companies are 5 to 10 years in advance of where their ball is going to go, where they're thinking it's going to go. They've got probably mock-ups for it. They know what they're going to do. But seriously, I mean, how much better can the golf ball, or should say better, I mean harder, or you know, whatever. I mean, it's unbelievable. I play the Pro V1X Titleist. It's unbelievable around the greens, and it goes. And for me, it's a golf ball that I can hit it full, and my three-quarter shots this year, since I've been playing it, are 10 times better than they've ever been. So, but I don't know, rolling it back, I think just let it go. The only thing I feel bad for is these golf courses. I got to spend millions of dollars moving tees back and structuring their greens to where they can make them tougher and stuff. That's the thing that I've seen because of the golf ball. You know, I don't know. I don't really know if I'm just thinking as a business side of it. There's too many lawsuits. Let's just not even worry about it. Because you got too many golf ball companies that are really good and doing thriving in business. You know, I don't see it. I don't see it coming back at all.
Back in your day, as I said, you're hitting 300-yard drives oftentimes with a persimmon wood. How is it hard to explain to the current player how hard it was to hit a persimmon club correctly and solidly and get the ball to perform?
Well, I mean, drivers when I grew up were like three woods today. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the driver heads are smaller than the three woods. But I think, you know, I've always believed the smaller the head, the more club head speed you get, and the more solid you can hit it if you hit it solid. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, these big-headed clubs now, you know, they've got the sweet spot is still there, but they're a little forgiving, but I think you lose club head speed. I don't think they're that great in the wind that I've, you know, done for so many years trying to play them. Our vertical groove is probably one of the smallest-headed drivers out there, and I think the Ruben and all them from Vertical Group said I was 38% hit more fairways this year than I did last.
That'll work.
I mean, that's uncalled for. I mean, that's just unheard of. But, you know, I think a combination of the titanium that goes into driver, the combination of the golf ball where it's going, it's just let's just let it go. Yeah. I mean, it's just going to go where it's going to go. And the RNA and the USGA and all the committees of golf, they need to be at fault. They're the ones who let it get this far for calling them conforming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we're wasting our breath on, you know, where the problem lies. But that's what they do, and that's their job, and they want to make whatever's best for golf. But I think they're the ones who need to decide that, not us. I mean, and they're going to have to, or they're just going to have to keep letting it go.
Yeah.
There's really not much we can do.
Yeah. A lot of people talk about wanting to win the Masters and how that is a tournament that celebrates their champions, but the two majors that you won do a pretty good job as well of celebrating their champions in the Open Championship and the PGA Championship. What is it like for you to be able to go back every year and you play at St. Andrews in the Champions event and you have the dinner at the PGA Championship just to get back and reminisce on those great weeks that you had and then also be able to tee it up in a major championship against the best players in the world?
Well, it's an honor, for one. I mean, it shows that the Masters, the PGA, and the British actually love their champions. And I'm not saying the USGA doesn't, but there's no lifetime exemption right. in the US Open, which I kind of understand, because it's so-called, they want amateurs to be able to play in it as much as possible. But, you know, there's a few amateurs that play in the British. There's a few that play in the other ones. But I've never understood why the USGA's never honored their champions for, you know, to their 60 or 65. But I'm sure they have a great explanation. But for me, it's just an honor to go back and play the great British Open golf courses. And, of course, mine's my favorite, St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. And I'm going back to Bellerive next year for the PGA Championship, where I defended.
You defended in 92, right?
Hopefully get to throw a pitch out for my favorite team, the Cardinals, that week, which I think is going to happen, I hope.
There you go.
But
we'll have someone place a call for you.
We've got it. We're working on it. But I think more for me, it's an honor. Yeah. And, you know, it still gives us old guys a little chance, a little hope. I mean, I look at Marco Mira, won his two majors when he was 40, in mm-hmm. his 40s. So it's just great to go back and compete with the young kids, too.
Yeah. Well, as I said, we are streaming on Facebook Live, doing a little show and tell here. For those of you that are listening to this podcast, you're going to have to believe that I have here a picture of John Daly with the claret jug on the Swilkin Bridge. I just want to know, when you look at this picture, what goes through your head? What's your thought?
I did something for the blue-collar people right there. I mean, I really did. The RNA, I don't know how happy they were when I won, because I'm so blue-collar, but I tell you, with this picture, though, it's not much difference anymore, is there?
No. Nah.
Just a few more wrinkles.
No, I'd say that,
the mullet.
You've done well.
The mullet probably.
The mullet, we can talk about the mullet. We can have another, an after show about the evolution of the mullet.
That was just a fad going back in those days, huh? But I don't know. Kind of looked the same.
You pulled it off. I mean, if you're gonna go with the mullet look, you embraced it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think it was better than what's his name, Billy Ray Cyrus. I think mine was a little sexier than his. I think.
But, I mean, that must have just been an incredible week, and it's got to be great to eat. With the way that the Rota goes with the Open, you're always going back to St. Andrews every 5 or 6 years, and just to be able to go back, and anyone gets to walk those fairways, it's a treat. But certainly for you, having won the Open on the old course, that has to be incredible.
Oh, it's unbelievable, and I'm going to my second favorite place that I never play good at, Carnoustie. I love the golf course. I love the greens. I just haven't been able to score there yet, and then fortunate to play the Open there the next year, and then mm-hmm. right across, not too far, about 40 minutes away, play St. Andrews for the champions, Senior British. So
it's a nice little double. While you're in town,
going to be great 2 weeks right there. Yeah.
Is there any course that you haven't played that you ever want to play, or is your bucket list of golf you've checked them all off?
I think I've had an opportunity. I think it's Pine Valley up in New York.
Yeah.
I've never played it. When Coach Reeves was coaching the Giants, he said, come play, man. It's incredible. It's incredible. I know some of the PGA, I think, or U.S. Open's tried to get a tournament there or whatever. But I think, to me, that's really the only one.
Yeah.
So many people told me how great this golf course is. And I think one day I wouldn't mind going up and playing it just to see it. Because, every time somebody talks about it, it's like 100% one of the greatest golf courses in the world. So.
Let's put the bucket list shoe on the other foot. If you can play guitar on stage with any current musician that you haven't played next to, who do you want to team up with?
Oh, Elvis Presley, man.
I wish he was still alive. Let's not go into Graceland and trying to zoom the body here.
I'd make too many people mad, but okay. I think...
We'll stick with Elvis.
No, I mean, Elvis would have been... I mean, I've always loved his music, and... living in Memphis for 19 years, mm-hmm. you just kind of feel the soul of him. I mean, he's incredible. But, I've been fortunate to get up with Hootie and the Blowfish, Johnny Lee, Jake Owen, mm-hmm. Cole Ford. I mean, all these guys. And I really don't know if I could really pick one, to be honest with you.
But music has been a big part of your life and sort of an outlet off the course. How meaningful has it been for you over the last, 10, 20 years to be able to have that outlet available and to be able to embrace that side of you?
Well, I think for one, it just keeps me at peace. I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy it, and I have so many friends that do it. And anytime I can get up and do Knock on Heaven's Door or maybe Hit It Hard, that song mm-hmm. I had went pretty good on the highway for a little bit. But just to be around those guys and I they play golf with me, so it's cool that they say, well, you got to play a song with me now. So, I mean, it's like, okay. But most of the time that this happens, the guys play better golf than I do singing. So, but it's always in fun. It's just, I think it's just kind of an out to release stress as well.
What's your level of optimism for Razorback football under Chad Morris?
I think we'll score a lot of points. I think this is a time where we've got to have some unbelievable coordinators come in there. Our defense has been improving. It's just never been in the top five, I think, since we've been in the SEC. I think maybe 1 year Houston Nutt, one or 2 years Houston Nutt may have had him there. But, you know, everything in the SEC to me is defense. You know, you're getting a lot of defensive coaches going to these colleges like Kirby Smart. Look what he's done at Georgia, second year. I mean, you know, the defensive mind, I think, in the SEC is what wins a lot close games in your games. And but I think Chad, he's the type of coach that I've seen with him at SMU. Not the greatest record in the world, but I think we need to score some points, and we need to score a lot. And hopefully our defense can just hold, you know, hold the other team just to 1 point or, you know, away from beating us. I don't know, but I'm optimistic. I'm always a hog. I love my Hogs. We'll just have to see what happens.
A few weeks from now, as we said, you're going to be back here in Orlando for the Diamond Resorts Invitational. Kind of a fun format. You're playing Stableford Scoring. There's five LPGA pros in it. You've got some PGA Tour Champions pros, a lot of celebrities. What's that event like for you to kind of kickstart the year in a unique way and in a unique format?
Well, it's fun because the two celebrities we play with, or if we play with an LPGA player, you know, we want to win. We want to grind it out and win. But it's so – I got to pull him for Colt, Jake, and I was pulling really hard for Ray Allen when he just kicked my butt that day, which, you know, the celebrities and those type of athletes, they're in a different segment from what we are. But just to watch him shoot 64 or 5 on me that day was unbelievable. And I think for me it's just a great opportunity to see some good buddies, some old friends, and get a chance to play with some of the LPGA girls we don't get to see a lot. The Adam Paula Kramer is huge. For this tournament, she's just been a not only a sweetheart, but she's been great for the game of golf, and looking forward to seeing her. But I mean, it's just a lot of people just coming together that, you know, great athletes and just a lot of fun, and the whole week is just a blast.
So we were talking before we started this. This is somehow your first trip ever to Golf Channel headquarters here in Orlando. Surprised that we weren't able to get you around here beforehand, but I got to let you know, no one's allowed to leave Golf Channel headquarters without answering a Tiger Woods question. So,
no problem.
What are your thoughts on Tiger? He certainly exceeded expectations a couple weeks ago at the Hero. We're hopeful for a healthy 2018. What are your thoughts on his game and his current state?
Well, I'm a great fan of his, and I know we think he exceeded his expectations, but ask Tiger that.
Yeah. Well, I think that might have been, he will say that I think part of what worked at Hero was that he kind of dropped his expectations a little bit. So often we hear him say, I'm winning at all costs, and he kind of went in and said, let's set the bar low, I need to get some reps under me and see how it goes from here.
But I know after, I think he shot 69 the first day, 3 under, his expectations went up to here, I promise you, I know him.
Yeah.
But I love him, I've always loved him. I wish nothing but the best for him, to stay healthy for one. And really the only thing, like I said in the segment with Charlie and Noda, was that, you know, he just needs to watch his left shoulder when he's chipping. Mm-hmm. Everything else is perfect. You know, he gets that left shoulder high, and that's why he's kind of chili dipping a couple of them. Just lean a little left, put the left shoulder down, he'll start chipping in again.
I think I might need to go hit the chipping green, keep the left shoulder down. That should work for everyone.
There you
right?
go. It does, yeah. Trust me.
See, very good. Well, John Daly, thank you so much again for joining us here on this Golf Channel podcast. Look forward to seeing you this week, teaming up with LJ at the Father-Son, the PNC Father-Son Challenge, back next month in Orlando for the Diamond Resorts Invitational. Thank you much.
Looking forward to it,
Will. Taking the time.
You betcha.
This has been a Golf Channel podcast with John Daly. I'm your host, Will Gray. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.